This is WCNO Palm City, the good news station.
Do you know that you're one of the Lord's treasured possessions? Malachi 3:16 and 17 says in part that those who feared the Lord and honored his name will become his treasured possession. Welcome to Hidden Places, where you'll hear stories, testimonies, and casual conversations from believers just like you who make up the Lord's treasured possession. Each one of us has a unique story to tell, and during this hour, the Lord wants to bring forth those treasures out of the hidden places.
Thank you.
Amen. Amen. Did you know that victory belongs to Jesus? He paid the price for us, for all of us, because we could not do it on our own. He made that sacrifice, and he claimed the victory over death, over hell and the grave. And we just decree and declare this day that victory belongs to Jesus. And before I introduce my co-host, I'm just going to read this word that the Lord gave me this morning. He said, "Did I not say, I will strengthen you, I will watch over you, I will be with you, I will be your rear guard, and I will protect you. I will hear you when you call. In fact, even before you call, I will answer you. Before you call, I will provide. All you will ever need is in me. Open your heart. Let the light of my glory in. Open, open, open your heart. I have opened for you the gates to my glory. Now open to me that I may pour forth my glory into your life. Open, open, open. Let the King of Glory come in. All your needs are met in my glory. Every question is answered in my glory. These are the days of my glory. Receive my glory today. If it looks like all hell is breaking loose, which it does, if you watch the news, if you're on social media, if you talk to people that don't know God, it looks like everything's just going to hell in the handbasket. But Jesus is the victor. Jesus has secured the victory for us in this life, in the next. Mm. And I just want to encourage you to turn your life over to Jesus. You know, he said, "I stand at the door and knock." He's talking to his people. "I stand at the door and knock. If you will open that door, I will come in." You know, and I remember when I was closed off to the Lord because I didn't know. I had no idea that Jesus came to set me free. I had no idea that he paid that price for me. I remember seeing all the stuff in church growing up, seeing him on the cross, seeing all the things that he went through. But I didn't know that he did that for me. And unless we invite him in, and until we invite him in, then we're lost and we're heading to hell ourselves. You know, he said that we cannot, he didn't come to condemn the world, but that the world through him would be saved. So I encourage you today to look to the Lord Jesus. He has secured the victory, and he's preparing his end time church. He's preparing the body of Christ for his return. And, you know, what does that look like? Looks different to all of us. You know, a lot of people just want the rapture to come, and they just want to get the heck out of here. You know, and whether it's going to happen that way, it says in the twinkling of an eye, you know, might happen in a split second. But the Lord wants us to put our trust in him, into what he has already secured for us, that we can overcome in this life. You know, he made us to be overcomers. You know, we're not just like helpless people. You know, even after we receive the Lord, a lot of noises going on here. Even after we receive him, you know, we have to learn about him. And I can tell by experience, my own experience, that I was not taught that, which I mentioned many times on the program, that all they said was, read your Bible, pray every day, and you'll grow. And so I read my Bible every day, and I had no idea what I was growing into. I didn't have any type of revelation from the Lord. A couple of scriptures he revealed to me. But it was never focused to have Jesus, to let Jesus be the focus of my life in him. So I did all the religious things, but I didn't know him. He wants to come in. He wants to sup with you. He wants to sit with you. He wants to reveal himself to you. And he wants to bring you to the place, like Sean always says, he wants to bring you to that place that you cannot bring yourself.
And do for you what you can never do on your own.
Amen.
He does the works.
Amen. So with that, I will end my whatever I have for right now, because I do have a couple of other things. But I want to welcome Sean, since you're here first. I welcome you first.
Good afternoon.
And welcome Nanette Maldonado.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
And then Deanne Diaz.
Hello, everyone.
Hello. Good to see you. We missed you last week.
Thank you. I miss being here.
Amen.
Amen.
All right. So, you know, I played that song, Victory Belongs to Jesus. And that came up in my spirit yesterday. So I pretty much had it on repeat the whole time. You know, when you're in a bind, when you don't know what to do, look to Jesus.
Amen.
He's the author and finisher of your faith. And he wants to bring you to the place where you want to be. You know, a lot of times we think that what we want is different from what the Lord wants. But he, you know, he puts desires in you to do things. And he wants to bring you to those places. You can't get there on your own. Like they say in Maine, you can't get there from here. Amen.
Boy, oh boy.
So.
Can you believe it's July 31st?
You got to get closer to the mic.
Sorry. But when you said victory, it took me right to Psalm 62:7, where it says, my victory and honor come from God alone.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, if I can, it's a short psalm, but it's just amazing. But God's word is amazing from beginning to the end. And so it says, I wait quietly before God, for my victory comes from him. He alone is my rock and my salvation, my fortress where I will never be shaken. So many enemies against one man, all of them trying to kill me. To them, I'm just a broken down wall or a tottering fence. They plan to topple me from my high position. They delight in telling lies about me. They praise me to my face, but curse me in their hearts. Let all that I am wait quietly before God, for my hope is in him. He alone is my rock and my salvation, my fortress where I will not be shaken. My victory and honor come from God alone. He is my refuge, a rock where no enemy can reach me. Oh, my people, trust in him at all times. Pour out your heart to him, for God is our refuge. Common people are worthless as a puff of wind, and the powerful are not what they appear to be. If you weigh them on the scales, together they are lighter than a breath of air. Don't make your living by extortion or put your hope in stealing. And if your wealth increases, don't make it the center of your life. God has spoken plainly, and I have heard it many times. Powerful, O God. Power, O God, belongs to you. Unfailing love, O Lord, is yours. Surely you will repay all people according to what they have done.
Amen. Amen.
You know, sometimes you wonder why you expect so much from people, you know, in and of what they do, and you wonder why people do what they do. But it does say here in Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9, above all things, the heart is deceitfully wicked, and, you know, who can know it? But I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. That's the short of it. But, you know, it's so important to understand that real teachability is like this. If you if you want to keep leading, you have to learn how to learn what you haven't learned. Mm. And as a watchman on the wall, you know, watchmen on the wall, they guide and they guard the flock, drawing the line between doing what's right to retain and sustain the flock. That's where we are.
Amen. Amen. You know, in that, there is much distraction taking place in a lot of the body. And, you know, we've been hearing all these prophetic words about the shaking. And, you know, even as of late, I've gotten down to following just two major prophets that I really trust. And both are talking about shaking. And that, you know, we're hearing, even from, you know, some other prophetic voices, you know, everybody's, well, you know, the month of August and September and October, you know, and they're talking about things that are coming down the road. And, you know, if you only listen to them, you know, it's downright scary, you know, because they're prophesying bad things that are going to happen. And I feel that the distraction, that there is a distraction, and it's almost as if the prophetic, I think the Lord is fine-tuning the prophetic in the church, because there's a lot of people out there that are kind of willy-nilly with different things and prophesying things, but their prophecies are bringing fear to the people. And we know that when we hear a word from God, if there's a corrective word, there's always, it's accompanied by the love of God in it. It doesn't bring fear. Fear is a snare, is it not? And there's many distractions that are taking place now. So this morning I looked up distraction, but the meaning of it, it's from the Latin word, I don't know how to pronounce it, T-R-A-C-H-E-R-E, which really means traction. And it distraction means being pulled away. And it's an action that pulls you away from what you intend to do. So imagine you get up today, Lord, you know, you're in your prayer time, you're following the Lord, you're trying to hear from the Lord. And then you hear something from somebody, a prophet or whatever, and man, just whether it strikes fear in your heart or whatever the word is that you hear. And this could be people in the church, it could be on the news. Whatever you hear, if that thing draws you away, then the enemy has succeeded in getting you off track from where you had intended to go. So distraction really means an action that pulls you away from what your intended goal was. Hmm. So think about distraction. Think about traction. Traction, you know, I thought of a bulldozer, you know, because they've got the, I don't know, they're not wheels. Right. They do have wheels on them, but that thing that goes around, mm-hmm. you know, that's the thing that gives it traction so that machine can move. And the opposite of distraction is traction. And traction is an action that pulls you towards your intended goal. So think about it when you're in your prayer time. You know, you're whatever, the Lord gives you a word. So you begin to ruminate and meditate on the word. And you can feel that you're being pulled forward into the truth, and that you're receiving the word of God. But if you get pulled away in a different direction, then, you know, you kind of lose that ground. But I just have a sense we're in a time of we need to have traction. and it requires what? we're in a time of, is that what I said? Time of traction. Yes. Get your shoes on. You know, like the golfers wear cleats on their shoes, football players, baseball players.
Yeah.
They've got the cleats on their shoes so that when they run, it grips the ground so that you know, they can pick up some momentum. But I feel the body of Christ is...
What'd you say, Willis?
What you talking about, Willis?
That's so good. Mm. I'm getting it, Karen. I'm getting it, like, especially when you mention prayer. Because when we begin to be in the presence of God, right, and we're in that place of intercession, it's His Spirit praying through us, right? Mm-hmm.
Right.
And when He starts and we start agreeing,
exactly.
I do feel myself moving in that, moving mm-hmm. with Him. And it's so exciting to me. And it's so, it's real.
Well, because, when I read this, you know, for traction, it says an action that pulls you towards. And I think last year sometime, you know, in when we were praying as a group, I remember having that sense, and maybe I even spoke that out, that sense that God was pulling us forward, you know, mm-hmm. And when you're in agreement with God, when you're in agreement with the Word, then then you're right, that pulling forward and that drawing forward. The Lord draws us. The enemy pushes us, but the Lord draws us to Himself.
That's because a call to change and repentance is always fun. Let's have fun now with change and repentance. That's why God hires a demolition man before He hires somebody to start building, you know.
Yes.
Tear down and destroy, right?
Mm, that's right.
As you were talking earlier.
Yeah, like in Jeremiah. Mm. Chapter 1. Yeah.
Before the building, a demolition has to be done because it's taking up space. That old thing... That old building that's falling apart is taking space. Mm-hmm. It has a lot that can be used for better purposes.
Mm. Amen. Yeah, and then, so you mentioned Jeremiah. Go ahead.
No, you were on it.
So in Jeremiah chapter 1, let's see, verse 10, 1:10. Well, before that, the Lord said, "Look, I have put my words in your mouth. Today I appoint you to stand up against nations and kingdoms. Some you must uproot and tear down, destroy and overthrow, and others you must build and plant." So you got to figure out if you're supposed to be uprooting and overthrowing or if you're going to build and plant.
He wasn't talking about gardening, was he?
No. No.
It's all because you can't mix holy with the profane, you know?
Mm-hmm.
No mixture.
That's right. And, you know, and further on in that chapter, it's going to skip over up until... I mean, I'm kind of thinking things that are going on in our nation and that the body of Christ, like, this is an opportunity for us to stand against nations and kingdoms and things that are coming against our nation. You can clearly see what's been going on. You can feel the things that the it's wickedness. You can feel it and you can see it. And it's all throughout media, social media. And you've got people and entities that are trying to uproot our nation, and they're trying to steer our nation in a different direction. And even though these groups, the Democrat Socialists of America, you know, 120,000 members that people know about, but their intent is to strip away everything that the nation was built on. And ultimately, they want to get rid of God. The enemy wants the nation for himself so that he can do whatever he wants with it. Mm-hmm. But, you know, God created the nation of the United States of America. Mm-hmm. And we, as believers, need to stand against mm-hmm. the things that oppose what God has already established. You know, some people are like, oh, they're not going to be able to do anything. They're not going to. Oh, this communist? No, they're not going to be able to do anything.
Mm-mm.
And, you know, you can't think that way. You have to think that No, it's like you're not going to let somebody in your house. If somebody came to your house and said, you know what, I don't like those paintings you have on the wall, and I think we should just tear those down.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't like how you have your furniture arranged. I think you need to throw this out.
Yeah.
You know, you're not going to allow that to happen in your personal life. And we don't need to let it happen in our nation.
You know, and the thing is that the voices that are speaking on behalf of that, I'm not going to say all, but the some that has caught my attention, it's interesting that they say that, yet their life is full with capitalism and free enterprise and all of these things. And they're famous and they're among the elite. And yet they're preaching another, the opposite, that they're what they're living. So does it mean that you want everybody else suppressed and exactly. under those conditions? I mean, because I'm hearing a lot of voices, but they have fame, they have fortune, they have businesses, they have all of these benefits.
Yeah, they aren't the poor and the oppressed. They're not. And they think they're representing and speaking out for them, but they're not. it's all a huge deception.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. You know.
And again, you know, I'm not saying all, but the ones that I've been listening to, I'm like, wow, you're saying that, but you're in a different position as far as your life.
You can only defile the land so much before God spews you out of the land itself. Because when you mix the profane with the holy, what ends up happening is you end up exiled. And, you know, God only tears down what he plans on rebuilding later. So he uproots, you know, what you're leaning on so that you'll end up falling into him. So it's not punishment. It is preparation. But what a time, what a season we're in. Just watch.
Amen. Amen. I found myself feeling like Nehemiah with the sword in one hand,
right?
Protecting, building with this hand with the tool, and then fighting with the sword with this hand. It's like, I believe that's the time we're in. We have to be building. We have to be working the kingdom work, but then we have to be over here and we have to be protecting and you know, fighting off the enemy.
Right.
So like we're that person.
Yes.
Nehemiah was that person. And God had an assignment for him to rebuild. And I kind of fractured my foot this past Sunday, so I've been limping around in pain and not able to do much. And boy, it just makes you be still and quiet and like, okay, God, this is not me. And the opposite of what you were saying about the traction, the opposite of that is being on that hamster's wheel and just going and going and going and going. There's no traction. You just keep spinning and spinning and spinning. And I'm guilty. I don't know how many of you out there are. But, you know, I heard someone say the other day, if the devil can't make you bad, he'll make you busy. So we are so busy. I find myself always saying, oh, I'm so busy at work and busy this and busy, busy. And my brother says, yeah, Cindy, my sister, I'm talking to Cindy and she's like, Deanne's always busy. She's always busy. But you know what? It's the enemy makes us busy. Like you said, the enemy drives us and pushes us. God draws us. But when we're busy over here and we're overloaded, we're not taking that time or as much time as God wants us to sit and listen, be still and hear my still small voice, be quiet, you know? So through this affliction, this morning I was looking up, I was hearing the kingdom of God is at hand. The kingdom of God is at hand. So I was looking up, let me go to that. The kingdom of God. So we know many scriptures here, Matthew 6:33, but seek first the kingdom of God, his righteousness, and all these other things will be added to you. Do not fear, Luke 12:32. Do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom, right? Mm. And Luke 17, 21, see there, for indeed the kingdom of God is within you. So they may try to eliminate God, eliminate the church, eliminate the body. They can't, because the kingdom is not the church. It's the kingdom is within us. Mm-hmm. It's Christ in us. We are his ambassadors. We are his people. And we know Romans 14, 17, for the kingdom of God is not eating or drinking, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. So it is within us. So we have the kingdom, and we're representing the kingdom. He's brought us out of darkness into the kingdom of his marvelous light, into the kingdom, the son of his love, right? We're receiving a kingdom. This is Hebrews 12, 28. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God. So everything around us, it is being shaken, and it will continue to be shaken. And things are going to shock us, and we're not going to believe what we're seeing and what we're hearing and what's happening. Mm-hmm. And we're, you know, the enemy would try to bring confusion. God, what's going on? And try to bring fear. Mm-hmm. But no, we will not fear, because God is with us, and God is doing what only God can do. God is carrying out his kingdom plan, his prophecies, his word is coming to pass. His word is coming alive, because this is that. This is the time.
Yes.
And I found myself praying, God, pour out your spirit, as Joel, on all flesh. First on your sons and your daughters, your people. We need more discernment. We need more insight. We need more revelation. We need more strategic instruction, and to be so walking in the Spirit in unity, arm in arm with the Lord, that we know what he's calling us to day by day. And that doesn't mean scrolling on the phone and looking and reading. And even if it's good stuff, it doesn't mean it's God's stuff. It doesn't mean it's what God wants us to do. Do not lose heart. And then I'll go into affliction later. The next thing was affliction. But God uses everything. So we have to get out of the busy, off the spinning wheel, the hamster's wheel. We've got to get our feet rooted and grounded in the Word of God, rooted and grounded in love. We need to be so rooted, our roots are so deep, that we're planted by the rivers of living water, that we will not be moved. We cannot be moved, and we will not be shaken, no matter what is falling around us.
Amen. And, you know, don't you want to be that person, you know, that when things start going crazy in your family, you know, maybe there's something happening in your family, you know, and everybody's wigging out and, you know, distraught, and then they, because they don't know the Lord, they don't have answers. You know, don't you want to be the one who's going to be there to provide those answers? You know, the word says the Lord sets the lonely in families. You know, the lonely people seek out comfort. And when they find the Lord, you know, then the Lord gives them the comfort, and then the Lord strengthens them, and the Lord, you know, gives them what they need to be the voice to those around them. And, you know, but don't you want to be the one to be standing when everything's falling apart, you know, where you can give direction, where you can provide comfort, where you can provide peace? You know, again, like Deanne was saying with the, like the hamster wheel, I remember, you know, feeling like for a lot of years, even though I was seeking the Lord and spending time in prayer, you know, I didn't feel like I was going around, but I felt like, well, where is this all going? You know, I kind of felt like, is it, you know, am I going to get past this? Am I going to, is this going to bring me into something else? And of course it does, you know, which to me is the traction, like one of the things on the bulldozer. I need to look up what the name of those things are. But, you know, when it spins around and it, that piece that just clamps down, and, you know, and that's our spiritual growth, you know, where we just connect with something that the Lord is, what he wants to reveal to us. If we're over in somebody else's field, you know, we're going to totally miss what God wants to do in us. So
as if speaking hard truth without compromise is real easy. But, you know, listen to what it says in Jeremiah 7:27. Therefore you shall speak all these words to them, but they will not obey you. You shall also call to them, but they will not answer you. And, you know, like even in the cases Deanne was talking, I mean, we recognize who Sanballat is in these days, but guess what? We're going to build it. Because God said so.
Right.
So that's what's happening. And, you know, there's some, I'm going to give you a word here, and I've been writing about it and praying over it because, you know, sometimes you don't want to release it, something, unless it's really God. But he spoke to me and he said, I'm getting ready to teach some old dogs some new tricks.
Mm.
And I'll share some of that later on with you guys. Mm. But some old dogs are getting ready to learn some new tricks. And things are really changing because a real shift has happened, you know. And last year, I remember just telling you guys, I'm outside minding my own business. And the Spirit of God says to me, I'm looking at the stars, and he says, the whole cosmological system is getting ready to change. Of course, I'm on YouTube. Now I'm hearing people say, here's the shift, and here's the change, and here's the supernatural outpouring of what's happening. So we're really beginning to experience something that no other generation has ever experienced.
Amen. Amen. So let's take a quick break, and then you can fill us in more when we come back.
Every Monday, we will bring you stories from the front line of ministry, ordinary people doing extraordinary things for God. We will redefine where the front line is, from risky missions to comfortable caring, always with the invitation for you, the listener, to look for the front line in your life. Tune in to 89.9 FM every Monday at 11 a.m. Get on the front line. There is no doubt we live in chaotic times. Just listen to the news, if you dare. The world is a battleground for spiritual warfare. If what you see or hear in the news frustrates you or makes you fearful, then you need something beyond the news. You need the good news. Every Tuesday on WCNO at 11 a.m., a biblical response to the issues of the day. When you pray.
Hello, this is Rachel.
And Alexa.
We invite you to join us live for God's Got It.
Each Thursday morning at 11 a.m. on WCNO 89.9 FM.
Do you know what happens every Wednesday at 11 a.m. on WCNO Christian Radio? News and views to edify the body of Christ. Exciting authors, pastors, teachers, folks invested in richly blessed ministries where the church meets the world. God is doing things you want to hear about. That's Wednesday Live, airing every Wednesday at 11 a.m. on WCNO 89.9 FM.
Okay. All right, we're back. And Nanette, your turn.
Yeah, well, no, you know, because I like what's going on here. I just sit here and I start pulling from you guys. So wonderful. Listen, guys, the ones that are listening, I get it first at the moment because I'm in the present. I'm in the present bubble. But you know, when you're saying, you know, this distraction, right? You know, and Deanne added the hurried, you know, life, you know, the busyness and stuff. I was digging in because I was like, well, are they really scriptures? You know, like, is this Satan or this is Jesus? You know, this hurried life, what is this? And so I was looking it up, and I don't know this philosopher, so please. I'm just pulling it up. It's fresh from Google, okay? But it's wow. It's so true. Philosopher Dallas Willard famously called hurry the great enemy of our spiritual life in our day, noting that a rushed pace destroys our ability to love, trust God, and stay present. While Scripture rarely depicts a hurried pace coming from God or Jesus, who consistently walked and lived a deliberate, unrushed pace, a frantic, fast-paced rush is frequently tied to the pressures of the enemy. Mm-hmm. And this is where anxiety is brewed. Mm-hmm. This is where sin happens at times.
Yes.
Okay, so there's a danger to a hurried life. And it's just, it says, you know, moving in haste leads to poor decisions, mistakes, and life-wrecking timing. Like, this is serious, but incompatible. And like you were mentioning, Deanne, in the break, it's incompatible with love. Like, the true spiritual fruit, love, joy, peace, patience. It's like we cannot grow in rush. So when we're constantly going and going and going, and then it says Proverbs 19:2, it says it warns that he who makes haste with his feet sins. Ecclesiastes 7:9 cautions against being hasty in your spirit to be angry. I mean, it invites all of these things. So even with us in our scrolling, social media, you know, the filling up, especially in a hurry, catching things. It's like, what are we doing? Are we really grabbing the truth of the matter? Are we really living in this sustenance of walking calmly but yet purposeful? You know what I mean? And it says Isaiah 40:31 contrasts the exhaustion of striving with the promise that those who wait on the Lord will renew their strength.
Amen.
Run. See, there's still a little pace of running.
Sure.
And not be weary, and walk and not faint. I mean, there's just so much here, but we don't realize, guys, that hurry is not a good thing.
No.
Doing is definitely not a good thing, even if it looks good.
Absolutely. If I can piggyback on that, it's so true. Because look at the examples in the Word of God. Look at Abraham and Sarah, right? They got impatient. And when we're busy and hurried and pressured and we're not seeing it, we're not getting the answers, we're not seeing the victory, we take things into our own hands. And look at the mess with Abraham. Okay, and then look at Moses. Moses, you know, he knew what was going on with the Jews and the Israelites, and he took it into his own hands, and he killed that guard, right? And then he got exiled. Didn't you say exile?
40 years.
He got exiled, right? He had to go to the wilderness, and he had to get retrained. He had to get prepared for his true call and the right time and the right plan of God. So, yeah, it is absolutely the opposite. And when we are in that state of hurry and anxiety and pressure, we are not hearing the voice of God. We are not hearing our good shepherd, Jesus. We're not being led by the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit, to piggyback on you, is patience, long-suffering. When we're in that place of hurry, we're not being patient with ourselves or with others. We're not long-suffering and trusting God's timing, right? So it is totally the opposite of God.
Like, I think about, you know, kind of in a fleshly sense, you know, if I leave the house without having any prayer time, you know, the day does not go very well. So then, you know, maybe I'll be here at work. Then I'm like, well, I'm going to stop at Publix on the way home. I got to go to Walgreens. So, you know, I'm thinking of all this stuff I want to get. And then I'm like, well, you know, since I'm out, let me just drive over here. Let me run over there. And it's exhausting. And, you know, you end up buying stuff you don't need. People irritate you, like you're saying, Deanne. People just bug you because they're taking too long in the line, and you just want to get home. And, you know, I did that enough times that I felt like the Lord was like, you know, why don't you just go when you have the unction? You know, because then you may have a much more pleasant trip. And even like going to TJ Maxx or Home Goods, sometimes I want to go the opposite way when I leave work and just, you know, go putz around Home Goods, even though I don't need anything. Mm. And I don't know how many times I've gotten there in the parking lot, get a front row parking space. And the Lord said, go home, you know, because I was just in a very distracted state of mind. And then going into a place that has a bunch of things, you know, it's just going to add to that, mm-hmm. that distraction.
Mm.
But yeah, the Lord can save us a lot of time when we save us time and energy if we will just hang out with him and let him lead us. Well, you know, in The Chosen, you know, that was the thing that came across to me more than anything was how Jesus, they just really depicted him so well that he never got his feathers ruffled or anything. All the, you know, the apostles, the disciples all just wigging out about different things. And he just maintained his calm, you know, from every situation. So he's our example. Amen.
Let not the wise man glory in his wisdom. Let not the mighty man glory in his might, nor let the rich man glory in his riches. Mm-hmm. But let him who glories glory in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord, exercising loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these I delight, says the Lord.
Amen. Amen. Can you give that scripture reference just in case anybody needs it?
Jeremiah 9:23.
Mm. Amen. That's a good word.
Well, the other word that the Lord that came to my heart this morning was many are the afflictions of the righteous. So I did a scripture search on that. So I'm just going to real quickly read the summary of these. So he says, we know Psalm 119, the longest psalm about the word of God. Mm-hmm. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I keep your word. It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I may learn your statutes. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all.
Amen.
And, you know, there's another one, Romans 12, not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfast in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints. This is just going on about, you know, us being there for the Lord. 2 Chronicles 29. If disaster comes upon us, sword, judgment, pestilence, or famine, we will stand, that's the traction, Karen, before this temple and in your presence, for your name is in this temple, and cry out to you in our affliction, and you will hear and save. And even Jonah, I read this in Jonah. I won't read the whole thing, but you know, Jonah's crying out to the Lord. I cried out to the Lord because of my affliction. And he answered me, out of the belly of Sheol, I cried out and you heard my voice. For you cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas. The floods surrounded me, the billows, the waves. And he's going on and on. The waters surrounded me, the deep closed in, the weeds wrapped around me. I went down to the moorings of the mountains, the earth with its bars closed behind me forever. Yet you have brought up my life from the pit, O Lord, my God. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer went up to you in your holy temple. Those, the worthless idols and all forsake the mercy. He said, but I will sacrifice to you with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay what I have owed. Salvation is of the Lord. And when he declared all that and he called and prayed upon the Lord, I laughed at this last word. Mm-hmm. Verse 10. So the Lord spoke to the fish and it vomited Jonah onto the dry land. So nothing is impossible for God. No matter what affliction, right. We all are going through affliction right now. Whatever area of our life we are afflicted, mm-hmm. we must continue to seek the Lord, praise the Lord, seek the kingdom of God that's within us, and we'll have that peace. We'll have that joy, the fullness of his joy. Because God spoke to the fish and it vomited Jonah after, what, 3 days in the belly of the whale? And he was vomited on the land, and he then did what God called him to do. So God is able.
Amen. Hallelujah. Hmm. Hallelujah. Didn't Paul say he glories in his afflictions?
Yes. Yes.
Is that one of the ones you read?
No, it was not.
Yeah, I was looking to see where that was. You know, you just think about, well, I'm having afflictions or all this stuff, but you're not the only one. Always remember that. You're not the only one going through something. And the Lord is ready to deliver you from all those afflictions, whether you brought it on yourself or whether things just come. You know, I always thought to myself, I want to be like, well, let me start over again. It's like when I'm walking anywhere, I am so mindful of where I'm stepping. It's like when I go out to the garage from the laundry room, I open the garage door or the, you know, garage door from the laundry room. I fling it open and I stand there and I look to make sure there's no snakes in the garage. I do, you know, every time. I look and I just glance around. And, you know, of course, if it's in the immediate area, I'll see it. We've had two in the garage in the 15 years that we've lived there. But, you know, I just have always been careful to physically watch when I'm walking, you know, and especially after when I went to Fresh Market one day. And I noticed I always park kind of in the same general area. And I step over the curb. There's like, you know, some bushes there, just a little bit of a curb. So I'll step over and kind of whisk through the bushes rather than walking 3 feet around and go in the store. So this one particular day I got there. And as I was walking in, I'm like, oh, they took the bushes out. So there was just mulch there. So when I came back out from the store with bags in both hands in my purse, didn't I step off the curb?
Oh.
And my boots that I had on, my ankle ended up twisting underneath inward. And I literally just collapsed, like straight down, goodness. Cross-legged. Oh. And, you know, both my hands slap, you know, on the ground. And there was rocks and stuff. But, oh, I started laughing. But I was like, I was so mad because I'm always careful where I'm walking.
Yeah.
And I kind of feel like I'm like that with the Lord as well, you know, to just be, because he tells us to be careful for, you know, what we hear and, you know, paying attention to him. But when we're distracted, we end up falling. Man, that was, I started laughing. There was nobody around. I mean, I'm sure there was somebody somewhere with a camera, but.
That's funny.
I just kind of got up, but I collapsed. It was like I was cross-legged, you know, like sitting Indian style. Yeah, so.
I'm similar. Like, you know, my whole thing is like, I don't want to trip. I don't want to fall.
Right.
Because I've been there, done that, you know, so I'm careful, like, the crevices and things, like, you know, on the ground to cause that. But I'm usually, like, even when I go about my day and like, go to my patio or go out there in the grass. Like, I'll go out there, you know, like, barefoot, and I'm like, la, 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 la. You know, like, I'm like, free as a bird, you know. The sun is shining. I'm not aware of the serpent in the garden. You get what I'm saying? And so it's like, I'm listening to you. And I sometimes go about my day where I'm not like, and there's a lot of snakes in my neighborhood because I live in a place where there's a lot of, we have a lot of trails and stuff like that. And yeah, we have a lot of different animals running around. But I don't get up knowing. I know, I'm well aware they're out there, but I don't get up like, I'm like walking in the grass like, I guess until I see one, then I'm like, but then, but most of the time I'm like, ah, I feel the grass on my feet. You know, I don't know.
It's carefree. Just, you're a carefree daughter of the Most High God.
The only place I ever walked in the grass was Hawaii because they didn't have any snakes over there.
Oh, God.
So you could lay in the grass. That's the only place I ever laid in the grass. Anywhere else I've lived, yeah, there's snakes. And
I threw my towel out there the other day, and I was laying, and I was getting really and I was really getting comfortable, and I was sunbathing and just taking it all in. And then I did. The thought came to mind, you know, there's snakes around here. But then I felt like, well, if they see me, they won't come. You know, like that, just that thought came to mind. If they see me there, they're not going to come. And but I don't know.
I wouldn't want to be there to find out.
I wouldn't either. But yeah, it was an afterthought. It wasn't the thought before. The thought before was like, lay, put the towel down, relax.
Yeah. So I guess the word for today is don't be distracted, you know, and really just hang on to the Lord and stay close to him so that he can accomplish what he wants to do in your life and through your life. And, you know, because in the end, it's all about, you know, what did you do with what he gave you? Mm-hmm. And you can only accomplish it when you're staying close to him. You know, remember Mother Teresa said she's like the pencil in the hand of God.
Wow.
You know, and she just did what he told her to do. And, you know, because he held her hand and he drew her life. So we just want to encourage you today to stick close to the Lord and be all that he wants you to be. And don't worry about what the devil's doing. Devil try to pull you away, try to steer you away, like it says they're about distractions, you know, to get your focus off of God and off of his intentions for you, and to draw you away to an action that pulls you away from what the intention is. Stay close to the Lord and he will bring those things to pass in your life that you've been desiring. Mm-hmm. I think we're really entering into a time of great joy and fulfillment in the body of Christ. So that's what I'm looking for. My eyes are on those things, even though I'm seeing all hell in the handbasket going around. Mm-hmm. It's lies. It's all lies. Mm-hmm. The enemy is trying to get you to believe a lie. And this nation belongs to the Lord. And everybody that names the name of Jesus belongs to the Lord.
Amen.
And just encourage you to stick close to him and be with people who are positive. Be with people who can uplift you. You know, when you're around naysayers, man, I've been around some people that just utter two words and it's real negative, and under my breath, I'm like, in the name of Jesus, I just bind that negative spirit, that negative words, and I command you to shut up in the name of Jesus.
That's right.
So we're out of time for today, and thanks for joining us, and we will see you next week. Join me again next Friday at 11 a.m. as we bring forth more treasures out.